Well, welcome everyone to this service of worship on this wonderful Commitment Sunday. I see that you've braved the winds and the marathoners. Well done. I woke up with a little bit of anxiety about that, but realized they were done early, so fast runners. I do not know how they did it, though, because I could barely walk down Broad Street in that wind. So welcome. Thank you for braving that. You've already done like your good deed for the day, truly, showing up and managing to do it. So today is Commitment Sunday, when we will make our financial commitments for 2018. We will write them on those cards, we will put them in that basket, and we will pray over them, praying that God will accept them and continue to guide us in stewarding those gifts. So if you're new, if this is your first time, you don't have to make a 2018 financial commitment today. Just disclaimer on that. And if you're not ready, we will take them through the end of the year. That's okay. Not everybody's here today, too. So we'll be sending those communications out as well. But the series has been the last 4 weeks, and we have been following a book called Peter Block's Community Structured Belonging. So it is amazing. I love it. We used it yesterday for the lay leadership retreat for Brain Trust and Caring for Others. And at a moment, I'm going to call you out, Tim, if that's okay. There was a moment yesterday when Tim said, "Oh, Block is a genius." And I was like, "My work is done." So this, you know, I have a lot of love for this book. But also, it's just been great to explore all of that with you through this series and yesterday as well with the lay leadership. Today is the final day when we talk about commitment. So with gratitude to God and to all of you for going faithfully on this journey, let us pray. Almighty God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Sarah, Rebecca, and Leah, send your Holy Spirit to rest upon us, to move among us. Bring forward your word, your will, that we might hear it clearly and follow it. God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I want to open with a story about something that happened this week, but I forgot to get his permission, so don't tell him, all right? I'm pretty sure he doesn't listen to the podcast. I got a snarky text from the Reverend Andrew George Greenhow. For those of you who do not know Andy, he's my predecessor, served here for 3 years before moving with his wife last fall. And Andy and I had the joy of working together for 2 years. In that time, we learned a lot from one another, strengthened, lifted one another up, you know, all those good things, and also took so much joy from relentless teasing and picking, all in good fun, of course, but lots of jokes at one another's expense. And so the text that I got this week was a rebuttal to one of our ongoing jokes about the sign that is not outside right now because of the wind, but the sign that's usually on the sidewalk that says, in all caps, "You belong here, no matter what." As if to say, even if you don't want to, you don't really have a choice because you belong here, right? It's an abrasive, in-your-face statement, just like Andy. And I used to give him such a hard time about it, which is why he texted me after seeing BSM's segment on CBS, which aired last Sunday. And all the text said was, "CBS likes my sign, period." So obviously, I love the phrase. I have written entire presentations that I have taken on the road about the phrase and sermons about what it means and why it matters that we proclaim the words on that sign. As abrasive and declarative as it is a simple phrase that sums up what we are about here. That no matter who you are, your state of mind, your faith and doubt, where you've come from or where you're going, there is a place for you at this table. Now there is some nuance in this that I want to pull out for you. You see, the unconditional belonging that we proclaim when we say you belong here no matter what does not mean that if you accept that invitation to belong, that nothing will be asked of you. And this is because this statement is not an individualistic statement. saying, ah, I'm Sammy, and the sign says I belong here no matter what, therefore I can do whatever I want. It's not an individualistic statement. It is a proclamation of a communal ideal for belonging. It is one that we aspire to be together, which means that when you declare belonging for yourself, you also declare belonging for all of the people sitting next to you. When you accept the invitation to the table, which states that no matter what, there is a place for you here, you are not only declaring that truth about yourself, but also about every single person you will meet at that table, no matter who they are, because they too belong here, no matter what. This is what makes radical hospitality radical. That you belong here no matter what is a statement built on unconditional covenant. It's a communal agreement of how we aspire to be with one another no matter what. And this stands in stark contrast to the way of the world, which is built on contract. When we say to one another, will you do this? And I'll do that. And if you don't do what you said that you were going to do, then I don't have to live up to what I said I was going to do. This is contract, and it tears down the community because it means we will only reciprocate and offer of ourselves when there's something in it for us. It means that we will only declare, you belong here, Kara, but only if you do fill in the blank. And so our dear friend Paul reminds us that we shall not be conformed to the ways of the world. Our belonging, our community, and our commitments shall not be based on contract, but on covenant. When we enter into a contract, we ask, well, what's in it for me? But when we enter into a covenant, we make commitments that are likely to cost us something, but that are good and holy and come from discerning the will of God. See, God didn't write up a contract with us. God made a covenant with us. And we are called to live into that covenant as well, with a willingness and a deep desire to offer ourselves for the good of the whole, for the purposes of building the kingdom of God right here, right now. And Paul brings this to life in this text. At first, he's very poetic and a little bit dramatic, as he always is, but then he gets very pragmatic. And he lays out the process for living into the covenant with two simple steps. The first is proclaiming and believing that any gift has been given according to the grace of God, and because of this, each gift and each person is indispensable. Some are prophets, some ministers, some teachers. Some have gifts for encouragement, for generosity, for leadership, for compassion. And all of these gifts and all of these people are essential for the comprehensive, complete construction of the kingdom. Proclaiming and believing this is the first step. And then enlivened and ensured of our worth, each of us takes the next step by deploying those gifts for the sole purpose of building the kingdom. You see, no matter which gifts we have been given, we are called and instructed to use those gifts to love in the face of evil, to exude passionate desire to serve God, to be a people of hope, especially when it gets rough, and to make commitments to be hospitable and build community, not only with the ones we already know and love, but with the strangers among us too, no matter what. And so a community built on covenant looks like this, where we celebrate the diversity of people and gifts present in this place, where we offer ourselves by making commitments that are likely to cost us something, and when we follow through on those commitments, no matter what. This is a community built on covenant. So it's important here to be very clear, though, about what unconditional commitment means, and some traps to avoid as we discern what it means for ourselves. Sometimes we commit to meeting with someone, and our kid gets sick. Sometimes we make a financial commitment and we take a pay cut or we lose our job completely. Sometimes we commit to service and our schedule changes beyond our control. These are roadblocks and detours, and they happen all of the time. Unconditional commitment does not mean that we are smited or exiled when something out of our control prevents us from following through. Things come up, and that is okay. Unconditional commitment is not about torturing ourselves or shaming ourselves or exiling ourselves when something falls through. Because unconditional commitment is about intent. It's about proclaiming a freely given promise, one that did not come out of feelings of coercion or shame. And it's one that you intend and hope and desire to fulfill. It's also one that is not contingent, meaning it won't change based on what others do or do not do, because it is rooted in your deep desire to be faithful to God and your careful discernment of what God is calling you to do. Unconditional commitment is also not saying yes to everything that is asked of you, right? You may remember Michelle's sermon a few weeks ago where she reminded us that Jesus never told us that we have to say yes to everything. Jesus told us not to make oaths, but to let our yes be yes and our no be no. We are to carefully and faithfully discern our gifts, offer them generously, but we are only to say yes when we know that we intend and are able to fulfill the commitment. Which means that saying no can be just as faithful as saying yes. Because saying no to one thing might mean that you are able to say yes to something else that God is calling you to say yes to. And so this is so very important when making commitments, because I know a lot of you who love to overcommit. You're overachievers and perfectionists and beautiful, faithful children of God. But I will tell you that if you overcommit, you will burn out. You'll probably become resentful. And you'll no longer be able to participate in this community in a way that gives you and everyone around you life. Overcommitting also reveals a lack of discernment and poor stewardship on the part of the individual, but also on the part of the community. When one discerns that they have a gift to offer, it is the job of the community to not deplete that individual, taking all that they have. And finally, overcommitting can be a trap where we are only paying lip service, which is the enemy to transformational community. When we say yes, and then something else comes up, and we say, well, okay. And then another thing comes up, and we say, I can make it work. And then the next thing is, you know what, I'll try. That's lip service. And Block says that saying I'll try in so many times is a coded refusal. Whether it's a response to feeling coerced, a sense of internal obligation, or just a desire to look good, it is really a way to escape the moment, and it hijacks commitment. This is why saying no can be more faithful than saying, I'll try. So unconditional commitment is not about committing ourselves to the point of exhaustion. And our commitments are not made or fulfilled in a vacuum. Unconditional commitment is about intent and hope. It comes from and leads to unconditional belonging. And sometimes the world is going to tell us that we are being naive. And sometimes funders are going to tell us that we need to be more efficient. And sometimes someone is not going to reciprocate the hospitality that you extend to them. But none of those things matter, because the commitment that we make is unconditional. and rooted in our desire to be faithful and to do the will of God. The way we proclaim belonging in this place shall not be affected by the way that others treat us, because we are called to be transformed in our thinking, proclaiming the kingdom of God no matter what. We are called to proclaim our communal statement of belonging. You belong here, and I belong here, and everyone who walks in this place belongs here, no matter what. We are called to make commitments that are built on covenant, freely given promises which are weighty, costly. They must be carefully discerned, faithfully offered, and made with a deep desire to be fulfilled, no matter what. We live more fully into our communal, unconditional hope for belonging when our commitments to God, to one another, and to all of creation are as unconditional as our belonging, no matter what. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.